Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We have a very interesting question that we're going to be discussing, continuing our series of Holocaust responsa. We're learning from the Sefer Mimah Mokim of Rav Ephraim Oshri, who was a Rav before the war in Lithuania. In the previous year I mentioned Hungary, but I found out that I was incorrect, in Lithuania. And then he spent much time in the Kovna ghetto during the war. And these are records of questions that he was asked and the answers that he gave. So this question is from the year 1943, relates Rav Oshri. We were locked in the ghetto Kovna, and it was a terrible time for the Jewish people. And yet we were filled with hope that one day, soon, we would be freed from this horrible Gehenna in which we found ourselves. And this hope strengthened our spirit so that we shouldn't buckle under the terrible burden that was placed upon us by the Germans and all of the suffering that we were enduring. However, the time was coming close to Chodesh Tishrei, Yerech HaEtanim, and the people in the ghetto wanted nothing more than to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Arvin Minim. And yet, there was much sadness due to the fact that we didn't have Arvin Minim, and we wouldn't be able to be Mekayim the Mitzvahs. What were we to do? And then the rumor spread, and it was true that a man was coming to our ghetto with Arvin Minim, and we could be Mekayim the Mitzvah. People were very, very excited. Why? Why was this man coming? So the way the Germans would do it was that when they needed somebody who was an expert, they would take him from a factory in Vilna and send him to Kovna. From Kovna to Vilna. Whatever they needed. So they had this expert was coming to do some work for the Germans, and then he was going to leave. But at least he was going to be there for part of Sukkot. However, to the great dismay of the people in the ghetto, they found out that this man was only going to be there on Shabbos. Shabbos Rosh Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sukkot. And as we well know, that on Shabbos, we don't take Arvin Minim. And from the great happiness and elation and joy that was felt by the people in the ghetto, this was turned into a feeling of despondence, depression, being crestfallen. Now they weren't able to fulfill the mitzvah of Arvin Minim anymore. So they came to me with the following question: is there any heter to fulfill the mitzvah of taking Arvin Minim on Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sukkot on the first day, even though it falls out on Shabbos? Is there any heter at all to do so? They wanted to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. This man was coming only on Shabbos, and on Motzei Shabbos the Germans were taking him away. That was going to be it. He wasn't going to be there after Motzei Shabbos, and he was taking his Arvin Minim with him. And fulfilling the mitzvah itself wasn't the problem, because Rav Oshri explains that if you would give the German guards a few shillings, or whatever they used to use back then, they would turn the other eye. So even though this man was coming, obviously, with people who were watching him, but for a few bucks, they would turn a blind eye to what the Jews were doing, and they would have had the opportunity to take the Arvin Minim. But as we said, he's only going to be there on Shabbos. So what is the halacha? Is there any heter to take the Arvin Minim on Shabbos? So in Shulchan Aruch, Orechaim Siman Tov Reish Nun Ches, the Mechaber Paskins, the Min HaTorah, there is no mitzvah to take the lulav outside of the Beis HaMikdash, except for the first day. Only on Yom Tov Rishon there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. On the other days there's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. However, adds the Mechaber, on Shabbos you are not allowed to take the Arvin Minim, even if it's the first day, even if it's the d'oraisa day, we don't take Arvin Minim, the fourth species, on Shabbos. And the Rama adds that the lulav is even muktzah. The esrog isn't muktzah because you can smell it. But the lulav is mamish m'rotzer b'tiltul. You're not allowed to move the lulav. So here we have it, black on white, no lulav on Shabbos. So apparently, the issue is cut and dried. You know, they're not allowed to take it. As sad as it may seem, but we don't play around with the halacha. However, it's not so simple. There's a famous chakira in the yeshivas, which really is going to determine the answer to our question. And this is presented by Rav Oshri. It's also discussed by Rabbi Akiva Eiger, by the Oneg Yontif, in the Sefer Kavod HaKashiyasa of Rav Yov Yehoshua Weingarten, in Shiloh Tzadi Tes, it's a collection of Kaba, Kuf Beis Aleph, 103 Begamatria. Bomb questions that were asked by the Rav Yehoshua Weingarten. So there also he discusses this question, this Chakira. There's an excellent Sefer out, three volumes of answers, three big thick volumes just of answers to these 103 questions, which were given by various Gedolim from our door and from the previous door. Not from the earlier generations, because the book was only written about 100 years ago. But the question is as follows. When the rabbis uprooted this mitzvah, we know it's a mitzvah min HaTorah, to take the Arba Minim, but the rabbis said not to be Mekayim the mitzvah. Why did they say not to be Mekayim the mitzvah? Because one might carry the lulav Arba Amos Brishas Arabim. So the rabbi said, better not take the lulav at all, lest you be over in the Yisra Doraisa of carrying the lulav Arba Amos. So the question is, when they said not to fulfill the mitzvah, did they completely uproot the mitzvah from the Torah? And they have permission to do so, as the Gemara explains in Yevamos, because the rabbis can be Oker Dover Min HaTorah B'Shei Baal Taisa. Since here it's passive, they're telling you not to do something, they could actually uproot the mitzvah from the Torah. Did they completely uproot the mitzvah? Or did they just say that the mitzvah is intact? However, don't fulfill it. We're telling you that if you fulfill the mitzvah, you're doing something wrong, you're being over in Issa D'Rabbanan. That's the question. So if the mitzvah is completely uprooted, so then there's no way at all for us to take Arba Minim on Shabbos. But if the mitzvah is still intact, the mitzvah d'oraisa, just the rabbis told you not to fulfill it, so then if one does it, one is at least a Mekayim the d'oraisa, even though he's going being over in the D'Rabbanan. Of course we don't do it, but obviously this opens much more of a it creates much more leeway to be makel in our situation and to allow the people to take the Arba Minim as we're going to see Be'ezus Hashem. Now Rashi in Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph says, Beis Din Masnin Lakor Dovri Min HaTorah. Beis Din can make a Tanai to uproot something from the Torah. So the question is Rashi mean Kipshuta, they're mamish uprooting it? Or like we said, no, maybe it means they're just telling you not to do it, but they're not uprooting the whole mitzvah from the Torah. The mitzvah d'oraisa still applies. Now, this gzeira that you might carry Arba Amos Brishus HaRabim was also made with respect to shofar. We know we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Because one might carry the shofar Arba Amos. And it's mefurish in the Gemara in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah and Chavtes Amud Beis that Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, when Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, in the Mikdash they would blow, because it's only in Issa D'Rabbanan to blow shofar. And in the Mikdash there are no Surah D'Rabbanan, and Shavuos B'Mikdash. Lo B'Medina, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, we don't blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Mishacharav Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah says, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Kim Tarayin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he made a takana, they should blow everywhere where there is a Beis Din. There's a Machlokas in the Rishonim, what it means everywhere there is a Beis Din. Does it mean a Beis Din of 23 or 71? Does it even mean a Beis Din of 3? But Al Kopanim, we see from the Mishnah that wherever there's a Beis Din, you can blow on Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. And the Gemara says there in Rosh Hashanah, why? And the answer is, because listen, everybody has to, everyone's chayv in Tkiyah Shofar, but not everyone is a Baki in Tkiyah Shofar. And there's a Gzeira, you might take it in your hand and go four Amos Brishus HaRabim. This is interesting, two Elis in the Lashon of the Gemara, parenthetically. The Achronim HaMeir, first of all, it says everyone is chayv in Tkiyah Shofar, but not everybody is a Baki in Tkiyah Shofar. And there's a gzeira, therefore, that you might carry it and go four amos and wishes a rabbin to ask a baki, to ask an expert how to blow. So why does it have to start off a kol chayavim b'tkiyah shofar? Just say, ain't a kol b'kiyah b'tkiyah shofar. Not everyone's a baki in blowing, and they might bring it to a chacham. But why does it have to tell us first that everybody is chayav? That's not important for us to know for the gzeira. And the other hara is, famous kasha, that why does it say that the gzeira is you might carry four amos and wishes a rabbin? Why doesn't it say there's a gzera you might bring from Mishas Seyachat Rishas Arabim? Might take it from your house. Why only Arba Amos Rishas Arabim? In any event, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Tkiyah Shofar, we have a gzera, you're not allowed to take it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to blow on Shabbos, lest you carry it for Amos, just like you have the gzera by Lulav. And already the great Gaon, Rav Shlomo Kluger, the Rav of Broad, in his Sefer Chochma Shlomo, Anor Chaim Tov Kuf Pei Ches, Sif Hei, he was a very prolific author. He wrote about 165 Svarim, and some of them are big. A lot of them are big. I don't know how he had the time. He obviously had a staff and computers and everything, which of course can't be because this is going on about 100 years ago, 120 years ago, more. So in the mid-1800s. So the Chochmah Shlomo asks about shofar. He has the same suffix about shofar. We're back, fans. Let's say a person accidentally blew the shofar twice. He did a tkia, a trua, and he's like, whoops, Shabbos. Should he finish the set? Maybe this is sad to say. The rabbi said not to start, but once he started, already finished the set. Or, especially now, we're not worried. He knows, apparently he knows how to blow, if he can blow the first two. So we're not worried he's going to carry. In any event, finish the set. Or, perhaps no. You're not allowed to blow at all. And of course, that would depend on our chakira. If you say that the rabbis completely uprooted the mitzvah from the Torah, there's no need at all to finish. But if the rabbis didn't completely uproot it, they just told you not to do it, maybe once you already started, you should just finish the set and do the third one. So big nafka mina b'kesher l'shechiyanu. We know that you make a shechiyanu on the first day of Rosh Hashanah when you blow. So, let's say, even b'shogeg, a person blew shofar, he didn't know, he lives in a faraway place, he knows it's Rosh Hashanah, he goes online, he orders a shofar from Chabad, they send him a shofar, well, wherever he is, there is a Chabad place there. Why isn't he going to shul? The Chabad guy knows not to blow. In any event, he orders for himself a shofar. He's living in a place, Rachman al-Islam, there's no Chabadnik there. Like maybe in the planet Venus. So he's in Venus, and he gets a shofar online. They send him to Venus. They send him overnight delivery. It takes a day or two extra. He's a little bit annoyed, but that's what happens when you live in Venus. Things are a little bit inconvenient at times. And actually interesting, somebody wrote a book about how men are from Venus and women are from Mars. So I guess many of the people listening are from Venus. I personally am from Venus as well. So back to our show. So the guy takes his shofar and he blows it the first day of Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't know this Mishnah. And then all of a sudden, he's reading through a book. He's reading through Rabbi Shlomo Yosef Zevin's Hamodim Bahalacha. And all of a sudden he finds out, we don't blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. They have it in English. You can read it in English. We don't blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that's Shabbos. On the first day he made a shechiyanu. Now he's going to blow again on the second day. Should he make a shechiyanu? If you say that the rabbis completely uprooted the mitzvah from the Torah, so on the first day wasn't makayim any mitzvah at all, so on the second day you should make a shechiyanu. But if you say that the mitzvah is still intact, just the rabbis told you not to do it, so on the first day he was makayim a mitzvah d'oraisa, so on the second day you shouldn't make a shechiyanu. So that's going to be that the question of blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah Shechiyos B'Shabbos is also the same question as taking lulav on the sukkah that falls out on Shabbos. Now, if we can find some sort of gilui about Rosh Hashanah, if they completely uprooted the tekana from Rosh Hashanah, the same will apparently apply to lulav. Why? Because it says, Hainu, time of the lulav, Hainu, about shofar. It says, the same reason we have for shofar, the Gemara says, is the same reason for lulav. So apparently we can equate the tekanas. If you see something about one, you can apply it to the other. So about shofar, do we say that it was completely uprooted, or we say that it's still intact, just the rabbis told you not to do it? So as we saw earlier in the Mishnah, it says that you can blow, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in a place where there's a Beis Din. And in fact, the Rambam paskins this way. The Rambam says that in a place where there's a Beis Din, you can blow. And not only that, the Magid Mishnah says about the Rif, that he blew shofar on Shabbos Shal Rosh Hashanah. There was a Beis Din, and he said you can blow. So you see here that they didn't completely uproot the takana. If it was completely uprooted, they wouldn't be blowing at all. So why are they blowing the makom sheyesh Beis Din? So the reason they're blowing makom sheyesh Beis Din is because they're still the takana, still the Torah's mitzvah is still intact. Just the rabbis told you not to do it, and they limited it to everywhere but a makom sheyesh bo Beis Din. However, the original mitzvah of the Torah is clearly still in force. And therefore, there are places where you can blow. Namely, a makom sheyesh bo Beis Din. So if that's the case, then maybe we can equate that to lulav. And say that just like the takana wasn't completely uprooted with respect to shofar, because you see in instances you do blow, so too the takana wasn't completely uprooted in the case of lulav. And that means that the mitzvah of the Torah wasn't completely uprooted. The mitzvah of the Torah is still intact. And the rabbis just told you not to blow. Now Tosfos asks the kasha and sukkah and daf chav tes amid beis. Tosfos says, I don't understand. How come there's a difference between shofar and lulav? By shofar, it says that the makom sheish bo beis din, you can blow. But lulav, there's no place where you take lulav. What's the difference? Why don't we allow you to take lulav? Let's say b'makom sheyesh bo beis din. By shofar, we allows you to take it, the blow the shofar in certain places. So lulav, where the same gezeira applies, of you might carry it arba mispirsus arabim. So why don't we say there that you can take lulav in certain places? What's the difference? And the Ran asks the same kasha. So I have a simple teretz. Teretz is that there's a big difference. With respect to lulav, the rabbis completely uprooted the mitzvah from the Torah. And with respect to shofar, the mitzvah is still intact. So in certain places they told you to blow. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai can make a decree to blow in certain places because the mitzvah is still intact. Because if the rabbis had completely uprooted the mitzvah, there'd be no Indian to blow anywhere. This is a fundamental difference between lulav and shofar. However, Tosis doesn't answer that, doesn't give that answer. Tosis gives an answer, but a different answer. So it's not what Tosis does answer that's important for us, but what Tosis doesn't answer. Like the holy rabbi, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, he used to love classical music, the great English rabbi, who was one of the greatest orators I ever heard. He had a dry Irish wit, he enjoyed quoting Churchill, and he was a big fan of classical music. As a matter of fact, he was the rabbi of the Jewish Center in Manhattan for a number of years, in the late 1970s, early 1980s. So he was friendly with my father, and they used to talk about classical music. Maybe Bach. You know, when Bach wasn't busy making hagos to the Shas and writing Perushim on the Shulchan Aruch, he was also of the tour. He was conducting, writing symphonies. I wonder if it's the same Bach. In any event, Rabbi Bernstein once quoted a great musician who was asked, "What's the secret to great music?" And the musician said, "It's not the notes you play, it's the notes you don't play." So sometimes it's not what Tosis does say, it's what Tosis doesn't say. Tosis could very easily have said, you know what the difference is? Lulav, the rabbi's completely uprooted from the Torah, so therefore there's no one taking on Shabbos. Mashayin Kain Shofar is still intact. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to say that you can take it, but Makom Sheyesh Bo Beis Din. From the fact they don't say that, it means they understood in the Kasha and in the Teretz that really the nature of the takana is the same. And therefore, just by shofar, we see that it wasn't completely uprooted. The same must apply to lulav. And that's what the Gemara says. Hainu time at the shofar about lulav. It says the same applies to shofar. And by shofar, it says the same applies to lulav. We can equate the takanas. So that would mean that if one did take lulav on Shabbos, he did a mitzvah. Because the rabbis didn't completely uproot it from the Torah. However, this question of whether or not the rabbis completely uprooted the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav min HaTorah or not really depends on a Machlokas Rishonim. Because it says in the Gemara, in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Chaf Ches, that in the Mishnah, that if somebody's head and body were in the Sukkah and their table was in the house, Beis Shammai say Pasul, Beis Hillel say Kasha. So, Beis Hillel wanted to bring a lie that they're correct. Because the rabbis, these elders of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis. And they saw that he was sitting Rosh HaVeruv of a sukkah. His body was in the sukkah, but his table was in the house. And they didn't tell him anything. So you see that you're allowed to sit with your body in the sukkah and your table in the house. So Beis Shammai said, that's no raya. They told him that if you've been doing that, you've never been mekayim mitzvah sukkah in your life. Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. You see, it's not a right. You're not allowed to sit that way. So what is the meaning of lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha? So first of all, what's the reason for this gzeira? So as the Gemara explains, that it says in Sukkah, Daf Gimel and Aleph, the Beis Shammai say that we're worried that you're going to come into your house and follow your table. So it's gzeira derabbanan, not to sit in your sukkah with your table in your house. But what does it mean when it says, you weren't mekayim mitzvah sukkah miyamecha? So Tosis explains, that lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha means, you haven't been Mekayim mitzvah sukkah at all. Even the Doraisa. Comes the Ran, and the Ran argues with Tosis, and he says, that's not what it means. What it means is, you haven't been Mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah, karayu karatzen chachamim. And so explains the Ritva. In other words, it's a very fundamental and well-known machlokas rishonim as to whether, if one sat in a sukkah, shalok igzeres chachamim, he's mekayim mitzvah d'oraisa. According to Tosis, He's not Makayim Adoraisa. Apparently Tosfos is holding they completely uprooted the mitzvah. And according to the Ran and the Ritva, he is Makayim the mitzvah Adoraisa, and they were telling him, but you haven't been Makayim the mitzvahs, the Chachamim wanted you to be Makayim. So if that's the case, then maybe we can say the same thing, even though they're not necessarily comparable. But maybe we can say the same thing by Lulav. Because really there are many Xeris of Chachamim. This is really, if you want to have a good time, I suggest you go to the Kashyaisa and look at his discussion and all the other Sfarim that talk about it, all the other Rabbanim that talk about it, because there are really many Xeris. When it says in the Mishnah at the beginning of Brachas, say Kriya Shema Tul Chatzos, did they completely uproot that? When did they completely uproot it? When didn't they completely uproot it? There's a chiluk made in the Sefer Minchas Elimelech between where the rabbis were only concerned that you're going to be over an Isser, or where the rabbis were concerned to preserve the mitzvah itself. When the rabbis were concerned with preserving the mitzvah, then they completely uprooted it. And where the rabbis were concerned that you're going to be over an Isser, they didn't completely uproot it. But that's not our discussion now. That's just to throw out an idea, because there are many different cases where this issue of uprooting, where the rabbis uprooted a mitzvah d'oraisa. Kalayim b'tzitzis, the Gemara says in Menachos, that they said not to wear shatnez with tzitzis, because we're afraid that it's going to rip, and then the person's going to sew it up with flax, it's a woolen tzitzis, sew it up with pishtan, and then leave the strings, and he's not going to be able to say the mitzvah, or tzitzis at night. So the question there is also, they completely uproot the mitzvah or not? Why? So because midoraisa, you're allowed to wear a shatnez with tzitzis shatnez. But the rabbis told you not to, because we're worried you're going to either wear it at night when there's no mitzvah, or you're going to wear the tzitzis aren't going to be kosher. In any event, that's right now is not our discussion. Our discussion is lulav. So Rav Ashri wants to compare lulav to sukkah. Just like by sukkah, there's a machlokas rishonim where the rabbis completely uprooted it. Maybe the same thing would apply to lulav. Now, we have a certain problem here, and then of course our question would be the subject of a machlokas rishonim. According to Ran and the Ritva, if you took it, you would get a mitzvah for taking out of Aminu. According to Tosis, you wouldn't. Now, if you take the lulav, then maybe it's going to be a mitzvah b'avera. So even if you say they didn't completely uproot it, but the rabbis told you not to be mekayim the mitzvah this way, so now it's a mitzvah b'avera. I'm taking the arba minim by means of an avera, being over at nisa d'rabbanan. So Rav Ashri says, which is a debatable point, with mitzvahs d'rabbanan, there's no klal of mitzvah b'avera. So here it's only nisa d'rabbanan, the rabbis told you not to do it, even though one could argue it's d'oraisa because of lo sasser. We have a mitzvah d'oraisa to listen to the rabbis. But he says it's only a mitzvah issur d'rabbanan. And since it's an issur d'rabbanan, by issur d'rabbanan, we don't say mitzvah b'av aveira. And not only that, he brings the Yerushalmi, that there is no mitzvah b'av aveira, unless what you're doing the mitzvah with turns into a chefetz of an aveira. And here, the lulav doesn't turn into a chefetz of an aveira. Only, let's say, when you matzik zula and you eat matzik zula. So that's when you're doing the mitzvah with the chefetz of an aveira. Very famous Yerushalmi, that's machalik between where the person does an aveira and where it's a chefetz of the aveira. But if you take matzah from Rosh Hashayachat to Rosh Hasharabim, the matzah isn't a chefetz of an aveira. The matzah isn't an aveira object. You're the one doing the aveira. But you can't call the matzah an aveira object. Mashen came when you're gozel. So this is... So for that reason, he also says that it's not a problem of mitzvah above aveira. And then he says, what about the klal of wherever the Torah tells you not to do it, if you do it, it doesn't work? Kol milsa d'amar rachmana lo sabed yabed lo mahani. See, here also, the God doesn't want you to take these arba minim, because the rabbis told you not to. So, yabed lo mahani, the famous klal at the beginning of Maseches Temura. So he says that doesn't count either. Why? Because they only said this klal if by being mevatel the mitzvah, they're going to prevent an isser. You're going to be metaking the isser. For example, Motzi Shemra, that was Megarish, his wife, after somebody is Motzi Shemra on his wife, but she was unfaithful, he's not allowed to be Megarisher. So in such a case, The rabbi said that we say that the gerushin doesn't work. He's now not a divorcer, and if he divorces her, it doesn't work. Why? Because by undoing the gerushin, so we're being attacking the yisr. But here you wouldn't be attacking the yisr if you say he wasn't mekayim mitzvah. Say he takes the arba minim, and you say lo mahani, it didn't help. What are you saving? He took it anyway. So he was over in the yisr rabbanan of taking the arba minim. So you're not helping. So therefore it wouldn't apply, that car wouldn't apply either. So therefore he says, Tamna Ladina. Now let's go back to the halacha. Comes out that we really have room maybe to be makel for these people. Their only opportunity to take the arba minim is on the first day. Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, Sukkot Yom Tov Rishon Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. Chances are they're never going to be able to take it again this Sukkot, and who knows if they're ever going to be able to take it again ever. And therefore he says, in our instance, they could be somech on the Ran and the Ritva, who say that they didn't completely uproot it from the Torah. So they are Mekayim and Mitzvah from the Torah, and they're not Mekayim the Mitzvah properly, because they're not Mekayim the Mitzvah Kegzeres Chachamim. Like we saw, the Ran said that when Beis Shammai, Zikne Beis Shammai told Rabbi Yochanan Acharonis that he wasn't Mekayim the Mitzvah Miyamecha, they meant you weren't Mekayim the Mitzvah Koroya Koretzen Chachamim. So here also it's not going to be Retzen Chachamim. But at least they're going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Doraisa, even though it's not exactly the way the rabbis wanted you them to be Mekayim it. And it could be that in our case, the Ritva and the Ram would agree l'chatchila, since it's a Shah d'chuk of Yoser. So maybe in this case, in such a horrible situation, the rabbis didn't mean that. So when the rabbis didn't have this kavan in their original gzerah, so then the gzerah doesn't apply. They didn't mean such a situation where you only have it on the first day, you're not going to have it for the rest of Sukkot, you're going to be completely mevatel the mitzvah d'oraisa, they're in such a horrible straits. Not only that, he adds another svara. He says maybe they wouldn't make this takana because the ghetto was closed. There was a teal mechushmal. There was barbed wire. They would be killed if they would try to get out of there. So what gzeira they're going to carry our bombs? You can't get to a Rosh Hashanah rabbin. The Nazis are watching them. And then he brings a raya to this from the Gemara, that you can say such a svara. But he says, he says, I didn't want to be matir, and I didn't want to aser. Since I didn't tell them that it's aser, they understood that if you take, that you're not going to lose. And indeed, many went quickly to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, and they made a shechiyanu that they were zochah to be Mekayim this mitzvah. And their tears were falling from their eyes, bishas maisa, tears of joy and worry that maybe this will be the last time they will ever be mekayim this mitzvah of netilas lulav. And the people who were the happiest were the bnei yeshiva and the bnei Torah. And one of the chassidei Lubavitch, Reb Feivel Zisman Hashem Yinkom Damo, he was killed on the 3rd or 4th of Nisan in 1944, told me, I'm a kind this mitzvah without asking questions. And I'm ready to go to Gehenna to fulfill this mitzvah. My whole life I've spent so much money to buy a mahudu to get esrig. And now, before I'm definitely going to die, I want to be a kind this mitzvah. And this schus should be for me on my Yom HaDin. You see the Mesiris Nefesh that he had to be a kind of mitzvah. And then Rav Ashri relates that the great Gaon, Rav Avram Duber Kahana Shapira, the Balad Var Avram, the Goyin of Beis Din of Kovna, he unfortunately died in the ghetto on Shabbos Kodesh on the 22nd of Adar in 1943, was very sick, and not only was he not able to be Mekayim this mitzvah, but because he was so ill, I couldn't even speak to him about it. But when he became healthier, I went into him and I told him what happened, that they got Arba Minim, that they brought from the Vilna ghetto, and I talked with him about the Tzadeh HaShaila, and the different svaras and the sources. And he asked me, he said, how did I paskin? And I told him I didn't paskin. Lo le'isr ve'lo le'heter. Ve'omar li, she'mutr haya le'klu'a ha'geto le'varech l'chatchila ala esruk. It was mutr le'chatchila, ki b'kagon te'o lo gazru chachamim eskzei rasam. Like we said before, that this was not the intention of the rabbis when they made their gzeira not to take arba minim on Shabbos. Not to this, they didn't have this situation in mind, and therefore it's completely mutter. So, Baruch Hashem, the heter that was, the tacit heter that was given was correct. Basically, mudi b'tiferes bachurim. There was a yeshiva in the ghetto called Tiferes Bachurim, which we have testimony from people who were there, that they were learning Yomam V'Layla in the ghetto. And the sound of Torah never stopped. And there was constant acts of chesed and staka. And the shetaka, the whole shir, and all of these shiurim, we should not only be mekayim the mitzvah of Zecho Yom Osolam, Binu Shnos Dor V'Dor, of remembering the past, but also we should be inspired by the Mesiris Nefesh, by the sacrifice that people make in order to learn Torah and keep mitzvahs. So Rav Oshri concludes the tshuva and he says, "Be'esli mudi b'tiferes bachurim, k'shemasarti l'mesmah shepasek ha'goyin of beit din dekovne, godla ma'od simchasim ha'shezachu l'kayim mitzvahs netilas lulav, u'v'simchas eslavu, samchu v'sasu b'simchas beis ha'shoeva, v'sharu es shirei ha'chag toch tzipia li'ishua v'rachamim." They were so happy when I told them on Sukkos, they were singing, and they had a, can you imagine, in the ghetto they had a simchas beis ha'shoeva, and they sang songs of the holiday, with anxious hope and anticipation for salvation and mercy. And concludes Rabbi Shri Zechat Tzadik Livracha, V'hi Ratzon, K'shem Shezachinu L'Kayim, Es HaMitzvah G'deila HaZos, B'tzara, he says Zachinu, so it seems like he was Mekayim the Mitzvah as well, B'tzara V'shivya, just like we were Mekayim, Zochar B'Mekayim the Mitzvah in distress and in captivity, we should be zochet to be mekayim this mitzvah b'karov mamish. And when I say this, Amir Tzashem, for us, me sitting here in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, only a 5 minute and 30 second walk from the Kotel HaMa'arovi, and approximately a 6 minute and 45 second walk from the Makom HaMikdash, we should be zochet to be mekayim this mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash, mitoch sason v'simcha, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'yamein. Shalom, shalom, my sweetest and most beloved friends.